So in the desert, it's 115 degrees. Yeah, which was just great. I loved it. We were on Interstate. We started in downtown Los Angeles. We escaped with our lives somehow. Was that ever fun? We had packs on our bikes. We're wobbling through the streets of downtown LA. We go through Pasadena. Fontana Boulevard, were we on? Old Route 66, Rancho Cucamonga. Hit the outskirts of LA, Pasadena, as I said, all out into the Mojave Desert on Interstate 15. Don't let that word interstate fool you. There's not a heck of a lot of people out there. We went through Las Vegas. That was crazy. It was kind of fun. Different, right? Yeah. So when you leave Vegas, man, you really get into the desert then. Still on 15 through Nevada, the top part of, went through Utah. Zion National Park. My wife absolutely loved Zion National Park. Melody loved it. She loved out west. Arizona, Page, Lake Powell area, Grand Canyon. Forgot about that. Yeah. There's this big canyon out there. Don't know if you've ever seen it. It's called the Grand Canyon. It's big. It's a big ditch. We saw that. And then we went through New Mexico. And this desert area just really reminds you of the Bible days. And by the time we got to New Mexico, we're into the trip. And God's starting to change us. And we had this thing that we were going to read the scriptures every day together before we ate. Again, this is summer of 1984. How many years is that? 22 years ago. And so we were reading the Bible every day. And we wake up, no alarm clocks. No alarm clocks. We woke up with the sun. We had a tent. We stayed in motels once in a while, but we traveled like the Israelites. We made camp every night, and it was like God went before us. You know, we didn't see the glory cloud, and there wasn't any pillar of flame at night. But nevertheless, we felt protected. We felt like our motives were good for going on this trip. And, you know, when you take it easy and you ride within yourself, you get into shape. I wasn't in great shape, and my wife wasn't. She's not the athletic type. If you look at her, you think, you went across the country. She's a dainty little flower petal, you know, but she's got a tough backbone. She's got resolution through the roof, and she says she can do anything when she puts her mind to it, and she can. So we went 50 miles a day average. One day we went 115. That was our longest day. That was between Thoreau, New Mexico, and Albuquerque on Interstate 40. You see, you're allowed on the interstates out west because there's no alternate routes. So that was a good day, 115 miles with full packs. But generally, our average was 50 miles a day. We didn't have a pre-planned itinerary. That was the beautiful thing. We went in accord with our whim, and we woke up in accord with our whim. When the sun hit the tent, we woke up. When it got dark, we stopped, and we pitched our tent. And again, we had money because we had saved some, and we knew it was running out. Yet we didn't think about what was going to happen when we got back. Remember, we come back, we have no home. We're not going to have much money when we get finished with this trip, but we were living the exhortation of Jesus, take one day at a time. I'm paraphrasing Jesus there. One day at a time. Don't worry about anything. God arrays the lilies of the field. He takes care of the birds of the heaven. We felt like lilies and birds. She was the lily. I was the bird. And together, we made a beautiful picture. And if you were to see us from a satellite photo or something, or a satellite movie, these two tiny dots moving across a continent one day at a time. It was an Israelitish thing. It felt like we were the Israelites. Camping day by day, our sustenance provided by God. Now listen to this verse in 1 Timothy 6:6. This is one of the greatest verses in the scriptures. Now, devoutness with contentment is great capital. For nothing do we carry into the world, and it is evident that neither can we carry anything out. Now, having sustenance and shelter, with these we shall be sufficed. Now, those intending to be rich are falling into a trial and a trap, and the many foolish and harmful desires which are swamping men in extermination and destruction. Some of the truest passages in the Word of God right here. And we lived this in 1984. And I'm striving to get back to it today, somehow, some way. I got to get back to it. That's what I meant on Monday when I talked about needing a change. Devoutness with contentment. We were devout in those days. We are now, but sometimes the contentment is hard to find. If it's hard to get through the layers and layers and layers of distractions and hassles and paperwork and phone calls today to find this bedrock of contentment. It's there, but it's it's covered up. Like a friend of mine that says, he says, I have abs. You know that they call when a man has abs, it's a six-pack. He goes, I got a six-pack. I'm just protecting it with layers of fat. So we have this contentment, and there's the people that we are deep down, and the people that we know we are. There's this peace way down there, but there's so much fat on it that we can't often see it or feel it. And I'd like to push us to get to that point. And it takes some radical cutting to get that fat off of there. I'm speaking metaphorically now, of course, to find that bedrock of Christ, of peace. So devoutness with contentment is great capital. Capital. What do we think of when we think of, you think of a capital, you think of money, what you're worth. Boy, do I hate that. What's your value in this life? How people look at their checkbooks and their savings accounts, how much their house is worth. That is just a lie. It's false. It's a false standard for worth. Because nothing do we carry into the world, it is evident that neither can we carry anything out. To me, that was the beauty of traveling in a shelter like a tent. And still, if you've read my blog, Zenderville, you know that I got into the hammock thing, right? The camping hammock. I just love the fact of having your shelter in a small package that you carry around with you. And this is what we had. We had a four-person Sentinel tent, Eureka Sentinel, and we folded it up, put it in the bag, and strapped it on the back of the rack. I get goosebumps right now talking about it because the simplicity of it was so beautiful. And people try to escape today. They go, quote, camping, unquote. They go to crowded parks and screaming kids running around. They got campsite next to campsite next to campsite. Well, we didn't do it that way. We went into some wilderness areas. A couple times we camped in graveyards. So this brings me back to this verse. Nothing do we carry into the world, nothing we carry out. The more you can get rid of in this life and strip down, the happier you're going to be. Now, having sustenance and shelter, and boy, was that ever so true on the bicycles. We had packs that we carried. They're called panniers. You have, they're saddlebags. They attach to a rack behind your bike. And that's all we had. I had my set. She had hers. Melody had hers. They were smaller than mine. And it's amazing that most of our life's possessions were in these bags. Having sustenance and shelter, with these we shall be sufficed. And we were sufficed. I can say that. In that day, we were sufficed. Because we did a radical thing. And again, it established us. And now you're saying, oh, well, sure, Martin, it's easy when you don't have kids. Well, it wasn't that easy to break away. And it's sure not easy when you have kids. But we did that too. In 1993. I'll talk to you about that a little bit tomorrow, and hopefully I'll inspire you to do the radical thing and lead a mild and quiet life.